You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dehati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey there, welcome to the New Churches Podcast. Today we are back with Jason Robertson and Danny Williams talking about supporting those you send. Many of you aspire, if you're an aspiring church planter or you're a church planter or you've been an existing church pastor or wherever you are in ministry, you aspire to lead your church to multiply. And that means that you're going to have a lot of missionaries that are going to go out from your church, a lot of church planters, and you're going to realize real quickly that the process has just begun when they leave. It's not ending when they leave. And you can't be on to the next church plant without recognizing the fact that the relationship with that church plant and that church planter is going to be an ongoing relationship for a long time until that church is rooted and has all the resources it needs. Both of these men have a lot of experience walking with church planters and their spouses through the difficulties of church planting. Jason's currently the lead pastor of Huntington Beach Baptist. He's got 25 years of experience. He's been in evangelism. He's been a church planter. He's done church revitalization. He is engaged with church planting networks and convention life in his community. He's also very educated, having gone to Liberty and William Carey and New Orleans and Gateway. And then Danny Williams is the lead pastor at First Baptist Church of Lyons, where he's served for a long time. He and his wife, Gwen, there have been in ministry for years. They've served in church planting leadership roles in the past. They've served as missions pastors in large churches. They have revitalized churches as well. They're a loving and generous couple that spends a lot of their energy and attention on serving church planters. And I'm super thankful to have both of them here to join me for this conversation today. So let me ask you guys, church planters face a lot of hardships in the first couple of years of church planting. The church planting journey is sort of notorious for fraught with difficulties in those first stages. Church planters really like that quote by Mike Tyson where he says, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. You know, church planters tend to step out onto the field starry-eyed and excited, and then they get punched right away. And so I wonder how you, in your roles as supporting or sending church pastors, have been able to provide meaningful encouragement and support to church planters and their family, and what your perspective is on that.
Well, I can speak of about two or three different situations, and I'll make this short. In the early days, when there was only one church plant, I tried to meet with that planter every week for a number of weeks, meet with his wife as well. My wife would be involved in that, have lunch with him. And I would just basically say, how did your week go? And then I would feel those questions, because here I am, a pastor. He's a pastor, but at a different place than I am. And so I would just try to pick up on what they think their issue is, and then what I know it is, and just try to encourage them with, you can get to the other side of this. Mm-hmm. And it probably won't be as long as you think, but here's some steps that you must take in that process to get there. And the biggest one is, you got to be so connected with God that you're responding to Him regularly. Wow. When you sense you ought to do something, do it. Don't wait around to do it. If you got somebody that you have offended, go get it right quickly. Don't wait. If you got a sin you need to confess, they mount up and confess them. Just do things. So, and then marriage is probably one of the most difficult parts of planting, just relationships generally, but marriage in a big way. And so I get my wife involved with the planter's wife. I get involved with the planter, or however that's going. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the intent is to just keep encouraging them. And if I see a red flag, I just say, now, you may go ahead and do this, and it might work, but I'm going to just let you know, it looks good today, but think about this 5 years from now.
Yeah.
This can really degenerate over time if you keep going this direction. It works now, but it won't work in a long time. So, and I've gone out of those meetings, I'd say to my wife, we'd be meeting together, I'd say, oh, it'll be a miracle if they make it.
Yeah.
And then 10 years later, they're thriving.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, only God can pull that kind of stuff off.
Jason, what about you? When you interact with church planters, how do you provide meaningful encouragement?
Yeah, well, I've learned a lot from my own experience. Planted a church over 20 years ago, the first church that I planted. And back then, we didn't have a lot of support outside of our church as far as this type of relationship and meaningful encouragement that you're talking about. We had some, but not really meaningful. And it became a real lonely experience at times. Mm-hmm. And as a church planter, I had put so much expectation on myself to achieve certain goals and to really grow the church a certain size. And all these people had invested money. And I always had this feeling of guilt and shame because I wasn't living up to these expectations that I don't even know for sure if they had them on me, but I know I'd put them on myself. And so it was an unhealthy thing for me personally. I grew through that, learned a lot of wisdom. And now that I'm a sending church and a church planting hub here in Huntington Beach, we're just doing things totally different. Mm-hmm. For example, when we support someone or help someone plant, we have them join our church planting collective that we've started. We've got two of them, one that's local in the city and one that's nationwide. And that locks them into a family that is not just me, but other pastors as well. And when I say family, I mean we get together with these guys and make sure that we're not just talking about churches and church planting. We're talking about life.
Yeah.
We're talking about football. We're talking about fishing. We're talking about whatever they're into. We're talking about their family and their kids and their vacation or their favorite music or whatever show we're watching on Netflix. And let them feel like they're just real people and got real relationships. And also, and I want to make this real clear, especially to any church planters that are out there, we try our best not to do too much teaching or instructing or telling them how to do this, that, and the other. But we try to do more what you might call coaching. Mm-hmm. And the difference is as a coach, I'm trying to really just help that church planter discover that they're already successful. That God called them. And the fact that they've even planted, and maybe they're only running 10 people right now, or 15 people, but that's still a success. Yeah. And let them embrace that and enjoy the ministry and see that they're already doing God's work. And you just see a whole disposition in their health and their family and their life and everything else. And that's what we're trying to do.
That's great. Yeah.
Another thing, Clint, just things like projects. If they have a project early on that you can participate in, like with you, when you got started there, once you got a facility scheduled to be a place you could meet, me and my wife and I, maybe we had others with us at that time, I don't remember. We just came up, went door to door with you.
Right.
And that was fun. And we had things we laughed about it. Stupid stuff we did, and you know, things we did. We thought, oh, she probably shouldn't have done that or said that, or anyway. But it becomes the journey becomes it's so serious, but it can be so fun, and just have fun with the platter.
Right.
That's one of the things that I think sometimes life is so serious that we make it terrible.
Yeah.
So, Danny, go ahead.
If I could say something about that too, because we try to, if one of our church plants is doing an event like you're talking about or doing something special, we try to get our staff at our church and then the members of congregations of not only our church, but the other church plants to go over and support and become right. the staff for that church plant because they're right. understaffed as a church yeah. plant, yeah. especially for a big event. And what that does is that communicates to that church planter that we're all in this together. Yeah. We got your back. And we're not here to tell you what to do. We're here to serve you.
That's right. That's
you know, good. And that makes a big difference.
Yeah. yeah.
That's amazing, guys. And yeah, I'm thinking back, Brother Danny, like your ethos has always been, I take the gospel real seriously, but myself, not so much, you know, yeah, I mean, you're always lighthearted and fun. And we have always had a great time serving the ministry together. But you're real serious about the most important things. And I think there's something special about that, about being able to focus on those items that are most serious, and we can you know put healthy attention on those things, but also just enjoy ourselves along the way. And so I've always appreciated that about you. And that's a great point from both of you. Sometimes church planting spouses, they get the short end of the stick, so to speak, in church planting. They are often doing a lot of the heavy lifting for none of the recognition. Mm-hmm. The stereotypical church planting spouse is the one, you know, dealing with all of the overflow of what's happening in the pastor's life, as well as often, like, you know, filling in the gaps for where people don't meet expectations. So when you're talking to a church planting family or trying to minister to a church planting family and the wife is feeling pressed and discouraged, what are some of the things that you found to be helpful to encourage church planting wives?
Well, just recently we had all of the Pillar Church Network to come in and we did a retreat. And one of the things that my wife did up front is she began to strategize with the ladies of our church as to how we could best bless the wives of the planters. And so they scheduled brunches and lunches and going to shops and all that kind of stuff that women do. And, you know, it was, and Gwen was telling me, that at one of those meetings, one of the platter wives prayed. And just the moment she started praying, she starts crying with gratitude of how they had been treated like royalty. Mm-hmm. But we see them that way. Yeah. I mean, they are trophy people. Yeah. Not many people do what they're doing. Not many people would say to their husband, yeah, I'm for that. Let's do it. And they do many times. Sometimes they struggle with it and then they get into it after a while. But yeah, just trying to find ways that you can just bless them. And yeah. of course, we do the same thing for the men. I mean, we had a fishing trip and a golfing thing and, you know, whatever, just to say to them, we really do care about you. It's not just religious talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a real deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's funny you say that, but you line up 100 pastors and you ask them a question like this, and 99 of them are going to say, how much time is that going to take out of my schedule?
Yeah.
How much is that going to cost? You know, they're asking those sorts of questions. And I ask you two a question like that, and you say, how much can we bless them? How can we leverage our lives to make their ministry the good and meaningful? How can we give them a sense that we're with them and for them? And that makes all the difference. That's why the two of you have been effective in this kind of work. Jason, when you think about that relationship with the church planner, what comes to mind?
You know, the spouse is often someone who has given great sacrifice because the church planter is getting all the attention, the training. There's a lot of investment that goes into the church planter. So the spouse is usually someone in their calling to support this church planter is, I'm going to sacrifice maybe my desires and my goals and my ambitions to support my spouse. So as a sending church, what we try to find out is, what did you sacrifice? And can we help you now achieve those goals? Maybe we can help that spouse go to a college and get an education or pursue a career or something else. But really, you got to find their love language. You got to find what they've sacrificed. You got to find what would it do? What do you need to do in order to minister to them and love them? Yeah. And then on a separate note, I just want to share one story because this was such a blessing. It was recently, it was actually in January of this year. Mm-hmm. One of our church planters, he got COVID, and he was an older gentleman and ended up becoming COVID pneumonia, and he was in the hospital. And it was one of those situations where we could not go in and visit him, and his spouse could not be with him. Wow. And thankfully, he was on the bottom floor of the hospital. And one of our church members figured out which room he was in, knocked on the window. A nurse kind of opened the blinds, and this church planter picked up his mobile phone. And all of a sudden, we started every single day having our congregation outside his hotel, his hospital window, having a worship service and a prayer meeting.
Wow.
And his spouse would be there, and we would just be around her and never let her be alone. Mm-hmm. And it lasted a month. And I hate to say it, at the end of that month, he did pass away. It was so dramatic and traumatic, but we were there. We were there the whole time. It's all we could do, but it was what was needed. And that was to show real love that we are in this together, right, and you're not alone. And it wasn't just the church plant. It was the other churches in the network that was able to send people over and make sure that she was being taken care of. And then afterwards, taking up offerings, finding grants, helping her with everything she needed to get through the aftermath and pay for the funeral. We're even about to send her and some of the ladies on a little getaway and things like that. So ongoing care for that now a widow, yeah, of a former pastor in our network. And you know, out there, there's widows all over the country of pastors, but mm-hmm. That are not being taken care of. But in our network of church planting, we're building into the DNA mm-hmm. that this is a family and you're never outside of this family. We're here for mm-hmm. you all the time.
Yeah. That's incredible. Brother Danny, I think about the way that you supported me when I planted a church. It's been about 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago now, that I went down that road and you supported me. One of the most meaningful things that you did for me was not monetary. It wasn't even advice and support and mentorship. It wasn't even that. It was that you advocated for me with other supporters. You would tell other people about my work and encourage them to support me. Mm-hmm. And there's something about a pastor coming alongside a church planter and sort of proverbially putting his arm around him and saying, this is my guy, or I trust this guy, or I believe in this guy, that conveys credibility, that makes not just you feel bold to take steps of faith ahead, knowing you've got somebody at your back, but actually becomes a real help when advocating for yourself for support from another church. It's one thing for me to go to a random church that I don't know and say, hey, will you support me? It's another thing for you to speak on my behalf with that pastor and then for me to approach them. And you've always done that for me. Even to this day, you do that for me. Why some pastors feel like, I don't know if I can sort of extend my credibility. I don't want to put my reputation on the line for this church planner. What causes you to feel bold to do that?
Well, I don't see it as my reputation. I think of it as God's reputation. And God has called you out, and I'm really more responding to him than I am to you, mm-hmm. even though I've got a great, a full heart for you all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm really responding to God. And I think of it as this, in this way. If I were out there, mm-hmm. what would God do for me? What kind of commitment would he have? All out. He's all out and all in, and he's not going to stand off to the side and say, make it if you can, buddy. No, he's going to be talking to people here and there and motivating and causing people to want to rally to the cause of a kingdom advancement that you're a part of. And so I just see myself as a minister of God appointed to do the part that I can do. I can't do his part. I can do my part. Do the part that I can do to at least let people know that a noble servant of God is out there that needs help. Whatever you do to help him would be better than doing nothing. And I'm just committed to that. I'm committed to that with all of the people that are in the network. I'll be honest with you. I'm committed to that as much as that's possible in the whole convention, Southern Baptist or otherwise. And I have people just come to me because somebody says to them, if you want somebody to help you, call Brother Danny.
Yeah.
He'll counsel with you. He'll coach you, whatever. I don't say that to brag on me. I just say that's who I am. And that's what God created. And until 30 years ago, I was not a kingdom-minded pastor. Right. I was a church-minded pastor. Hmm. But when I got into church planting, it changed me from thinking about me and us until thinking about a broad perspective that could change the whole world.
Wow, that's powerful. Jason, sometimes church planters experience a sort of what I've coined as postpartum depression, church planter postpartum, in the first few years of their plant. They set out to plant a church. They have their starry-eyed, optimistic. They get punched in the face, like I mentioned earlier. And then they start to go down this road of deep discouragement. And it often lasts for years. I've found as a sending church pastor, and even as a church planter myself, sometimes it's hard to decipher if what they're going through is just postpartum, is just kind of the thing every church planter goes through, or if it's a more terminal type of discouragement that they really do need to be sidelined or step aside from ministry. Have you had situations where you've had to decipher between those two?
Yeah, one thing that you look for is a church planter that goes into hiding. They go AWOL. You can't find them. They're not showing up to fellowships or meetings. And that becomes very troubling very quickly for us. We go and we find out what's going on just by really it's again, we're having that family mindset of just getting together often, having a barbecue, watching sports together, stuff like that. You're able to see them go through the ups and downs, and it never become critical. It actually is a healthy cycle that they're just going through normal struggles, and that's like I said, healthy for spiritual growth. The main thing is don't let them go through it alone.
Right.
And so that's what we're looking for, isolation. If we see isolation, if we see somebody go AWOL, if we see their spouse go AWOL, all of a sudden the spouse is not around, not getting involved, not volunteering, not serving in ministry. These are the telltale signs that something is at a critical level.
Wow. Gentlemen, such a helpful conversation. Thank you again for your investment in the kingdom and for the ways personally in which Brother Danny, you have invested in my life. It's mesmerizing to think about how many churches exist because of your continued ministry long investment in church planters. Thank you so much for what you've done.
Thank you, Clint. Glad to be a part of the process, and certainly glad to get to know a new guy in the bunch, too. So
great to meet you, too, sir.
The Sending Church Masterclass examines the wisdom of seasoned church planters and pastors as they equip you to lead from a Great Commission frame of mind. The Masterclass is completely free, and it's offered exclusively at newchurches.com. The Sending Church Masterclass is packed with wisdom from seasoned church planters and pastors as they equip you to lead from a Great Commission frame of mind. The Masterclass is completely free. It's a course offered exclusively over at newchurches.com. Some of the best ministry leaders from across the denominational spectrum make up the course. With more than 30 short video sessions, the Masterclass is a comprehensive overview of becoming a sending church.
You can take the course yourself, or you can take a group of people from your church through the course. Regardless, it's all completely free, and you can find it at newchurches.com on the courses page.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.